Baruch Hashem, it's a rare treat and a great schus for us to have the opportunity to have Hagaon HaRav Shechter Shlita, who essentially is the Rebbe of probably many of us sitting in this room in many respects, and the Talmud of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Yiras HaKavod HaRav Shechter.
Given a very difficult topic to discuss. What's exactly the title again? Difficult topic. Try, I'll say a few words. Okay. First of all, in Chinuch Habonim, I think that it's improper to give a Chinuch Shel Sheker. And when one exaggerates, that's by definition Sheker. I know where I go in the summertime in Tannersville, so there's a lot of Lubavitcher now. The whole scene changed since you were there. So one of the women told me she's a Lubavitcher, so she said she was always brought up that any sitter other than the Lubavitcher sitter is reform. She never knew that there's another sitter that's orthodox. This is a big problem. A lot of times parents, by some circles, they tell the children that when you go to university, they have nothing to offer. Everything is stupid. The goyim don't have any chokhmah. It's not worth studying any secular education. Then when the children do become exposed to secular knowledge, and they realize there's a tremendous chokhmah by goyim. So then they reject everything that the parents told them. Our parents were training us in shkara. That's terrible. The Gemara tells us, chokhmah by goyim tamin, Torah by goyim lo tamin. Chokhmah means there's a tremendous knowledge, but Torah means the way to lead your life is not based on chokhmah, it's based on the Torah min Hashemayim. So it's not a smart idea to give shkarim to the children, not a smart idea to exaggerate. Exaggeration is also sheker. A lot of the parents tell the children on Pesach night, when you open up the door, so Shmoch Havas Chalagoyim, so the Yanali comes in and takes a sip of the wine. So when the children go to the door, so someone pours off some of the wine, the child is going to realize that they're fooling him. This is by the goyim. They tell the kids that Santa Claus comes down the chimney and he left all the gifts in. So chinuch shel sheker, that's terrible. So I think it's done. You shouldn't even tell the children that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Seder. Who says? Where does it say Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Seder? Then it says Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Bris. That's in Ma'amar Chazal. It doesn't say it comes to the Seder. Kosher shel Eliyahu. The Paschim say, because when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he'll tell us whether he's supposed to have four kaises or five kaises. Maybe his man says, you have four kaises, and Lassi Lava, when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, we'll have the fifth kais, Ve'itseis, and Yitzal, to the Galta, the Kachti, maybe Esi Eschem al Ha'aretz. When Eliyahu HaNavi will come, it'll make sense to have the fifth kais. But even to say Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Seder, why do you have to say that? How do you know? They know Ma'amor Chazal. You shouldn't exaggerate, and you should make up Baba Maises. Chinuch has to be honest chinuch. We have to be mechanech our children in mitzvahs. So one of the many mitzvahs is Yiras Hashamayim. There are two types of Yiras Hashamayim. One is Yiras HaOinesh, one is Yiras HaRoi Memus. Yiras HaOinesh doesn't sell these days. Someone from the Chafetz Chaim's family was telling me that they translated a lot of works of the Chafetz Chaim into English. And every time the Chafetz Chaim describes Gehenna, all the different Meduri Gehenna, so they left out everything about suffering again, about pain again. So I already forgot who told me. Someone from the family told me that they were upset. Why did they leave out everything? Okay, you have to leave out a lot of the oynesh, yiras oynesh. It doesn't sell today. People are so used to going against authority. We live in a free world. Everybody goes against authority. But to leave out everything in back of your head, and that's not a smart idea. But when you're raising children, it's difficult. It's not a smart idea to emphasize the Yiras HaOinesh. You have to emphasize the Yiras HaRoi Memus. You have to have Yiras Shamayim. Remember when I was growing up, those who know my father's name is Melech. And I had just a yahrzeit for my mother today. So my mother always used to tell me, if your father's Melech, he's a king, and my sister's name is Sarah, she's a princess. So by definition, you're a prince also, and you have to act accordingly. You have to dress accordingly. You have to act accordingly. That's how many menchanchim say, that you have to train the children in Yiras Hashamayim, not so much for the Yiras HaEmes, but rather the Yiras HaRevimus. You're part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael b'nei malachim hayim. It's a pasnish. It's not right to do the wrong thing. You have to do the right thing. We have to be mechanech children in that type of Yiras Hashamayim. The Mishnah tells us, Torah Sivu Lora Moshe Marosha Kihilos Yankiv. There's a Masora. There's a Masora on the Torah Shabbal Peh. Torah Shabbal is there. Masora is on the Torah Shabbal Peh. Do we really follow Masora? Do we have a Masora from an Adam Godel for everything that we do, or for most of what we do? A lot of times people pick and choose. They do like this, or they do like that. So the children will confront them. Whose Masora are you following? Do you have a Masora? If they see that the parents are not consistent, a lot of times children see parents are not consistent, so they're going to reject everything that they get from the parents. The parents have to be consistent. They have to be consistent. They have to be able to say with a straight face, without joking, I have a masorah from an Adam Godel, not Stalin. I learned in high school by so-and-so, so therefore I follow everything they do. You have to have taka masorah from an Adam Godel, who himself was one of the Bali HaMasorah. The Ksav Sefer has a famous comment in the Sefer HaChumash. In the first parsha of Shema, it says, "V'shinantum levanecho v'dibart obam." He says, the way to get your children to learn is that you should talk in learning. If the children see that the father comes late to shul, or the children see that the father never learns, so what do you mean the father's encouraging me I should learn? The father's encouraging me I should keep mitzvahs. The parents themselves have mezuzahs on the mitzvahs. So whatever the children see by the parents, that's what they're going to do. The children carry over the DNA from their parents, physically, and they carry over, and the children carry over from their rabbeim also. The children always imitate the parents, they imitate the rabbeim. So you have to make sure you send your children to yeshiva, that the Gemara says, "Amarav dorim l'malach Hashem tzvah, because he b'akshe torim epil." If the Rebbe doesn't seem to be angelic, so you shouldn't send the children there. If you want the children to be trained, that Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim Hayim, that they should know, das pasnish, ben melech, it's not right to act like this. So you have to have them dressed like b'nei Malachim. Here in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the kids dress moms like farmers. So they're going to have the attitude they're b'nei Malachim. If they would go to the, if they would be a member of the Knesset, they wouldn't dress like that. I don't know. Maybe they would. I don't know. You have to send your child to a yeshiva where they dress normally, where they dress nicely. You have to send your child to a yeshiva. They don't say the rabbis are shtik mishugana, but I'll supplement it on. The children are going to imitate, they're going to pick up all the mishigasim from the rabbi and all the mishigasim from the parents. You have to, the parents have an achrayas. If they want the children to turn out good, so they have to be careful themselves. Whatever mum they have is going to be transmitted to the children. Whatever mum the rabbi has is going to be transmitted to the children. So you have to be so careful in picking the Rebbe and in picking the yeshiva. You have to pick a yeshiva where they dress normally, where they act normally, where the Rebbe is normal. You can't supplement it by what you're going to do at home. It's just not going to work. Remember somebody was once telling me that an Adam Godel, a very big Adam Godel in America, was commenting, I live in Washington Heights, so he was commenting about the Yekkes. So he had a negative comment. So this fellow who had learned by this Adam Godel said, but they all wear shaitan. All the married women and broyers, they all wear shaitan. He said, yeah, this Adam Godel said, the shaitan, that's the style that they wear. Like the Hungarians have long pears. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have Yerushalayim. That's just the style. If the children are going to see that the parents just observe mitzvahs hanoshim ulumada, so it's just a style. So they'll develop their own style. You have your style, I have my style. We have to show the children that it's not just mitzvahs hanoshim ulumada. Sometimes the parents kibitz a lot, too much. I remember when I was dating, so I remember there was one girl who was too much of a kibitzer. You have to marry a girl with a good sense of humor. I remember when I was dating, so one of my rabbeim, Rabbi Gerelik, said, make sure you marry a girl with a big sense of, with a good sense of humor, because in life you're going to go through periods when it's going to be difficulty. So if you're going to marry a serious girl, so it's going to be over serious. Make sure married girl has a good sense of humor, so when it's going to be difficult, the years, so it'll be normal, everything will be normal. Yeah, but remember, I once went out with one girl. She was too much of a kibitzer. Too much of a kibitzer, so the children think the whole Yiddishkeit is one big joke. Too serious to go ahead. The parents can't be too serious. The children don't want to, children are young, they don't want to lead a serious life. The parents have to act in such a fashion that shouldn't be over serious and there shouldn't be too much of a kibitzer. We all have to latch onto a masoira. Most people term Messina Masoira, usually have to have a masoira. Masoira means we can have shinuyim. Chidushim you can have. It's a fine line between a chidush and a shinui. We said we have a masoira from an Adam Gadol, we learned in yeshiva, we learned by an Oshin Gadol, we learned that by big Talmid HaChamim in yeshiva. We had a group of outstanding Talmid HaChamim. Look, we live in different times, so a lot of times you have to, there are chidushim. The chidushim happening in the world, so we do chidushim in Hanhaga as well, but a chidush is not the same as a shinui. It's a fine line. Rav Soloveitchik has this in one of his essays in English. It's a fine line between a chidush, which is acceptable, and a shinui. We don't allow shinui. One has to be careful not to be mishanef on the masoira. There's a young man, I won't mention his name, who learned in the yeshiva at the same time as everybody here. So when he says, I see him in Tannisville a lot, because his parents have a home in Tannisville. So when he gets an aliyah, he pronounces Hebrew like he's in Galicia, Mamish, like he's in Australia. He's an all-American guy. He said, think of my heart, what kind of shtick, what is he pronouncing like in Galician? But then I realized that he doesn't want to be Mishana. He wants to be able to tell his children he follows the family tradition. I always thought it's a little too much, but maybe it's not too much. Maybe even that's required. The Mishnah has a din chai v'alolorma v'aloshan rabbi, so there's a machloikis in the Mefarshim on the Mishnah where it means even to mispronounce words. So some of the Mishanim learn, Hillel said over from Shmai v'Avtalia, they were Gerim, they were Mishpachas Gerim, so they couldn't pronounce Hebrew well. So Malohin, Maim Shuv, and Paisim as HaMikveh, so the Bartanur and some Rishanim learned that Hillel used to mispronounce the word because his Rebbe mispronounced the word. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that that's ridiculous. Mispronouncing, also Chai v'Alam v'Loshan, so the Vilna Gaon says a different shot, because Shmai v'Avtalia couldn't pronounce the word Hin, and they said In, so if he would have said Ein maim, if the Rebbe would have said Ein maim shuvim, he would meant to say Hin maim shuvim. If he would say In maim shuvim, it would sound like the opposite. Maim shuvim do not pasul a mikveh. So Shmai v'Avtalia would say Maloi in maim shuvim. So everybody would understand. Oh, he means a shir of a hin. And even though Hillel did pronounce Hebrew properly, he didn't have to say the word hin malo. But since the Rebbe said malo because he couldn't pronounce Hebrew straight, so he wanted to be understood. So he said malo in maim shuvim. Hill didn't need the word Malo, but because the Rebbe said Malo, so he said Malo. So I think the Vilna Gaon is probably makes more sense. You don't say Chai Varam Malosh and Rabbah to mispronounce, but I can understand why this fellow, he knows the correct pronunciation in America. Nobody pronounces Hebrew like that, but when he talks, if he would visit Eretz Yisrael, he would talk a normal Hebrew, Habar Asfar did. But when he gets an Aliyah, when he davens Mamish like he's still in Galicia. He doesn't want to be Mishana from the Maser. We have to be careful. We're going to be Mishana from the Maser. So the children will say, look, the parents are inconsistent. They have no Maser. They're changing also. We have to explain. There's a Chidush and there's a Shinoi. Chidushim are not a Shinoi. But some things are clearly a Shinoi. We have to demonstrate to the children that we're not being Mishana. We're not being Mishana in the Maser. It's important to say Lucha Rav. Sometimes the parents at home, on Shabbos morning, we go home, so we make fun of the rabbi's drosha. Rabbi gave a drosha in shul, so make fun of the rabbi, make fun of the drosha. He said something stupid. So what are you telling your children? That the rabbi's stupid? You have to be careful not to joke around about the rabbi, not to be mevazeh the rabbi. You have to let the children know, aseh lecha rab. Sometimes you don't ask a shayla every single day. It's important. Aseh lecha rab is important. The children have to know that we ask shaylas and we listen to the psak of the rabbi. We don't always ask shaylas, but at least when we do ask, when we follow, we have to tell the children we ask the shaylas and we're following the psak of the rabbi. The New York Police Department speaks in public schools They have a big problem by the Goyish population. People become addicted to improper videos on the internet, and it's destroying the whole culture in America. So they have certain recommendations, which religious Jews should certainly adopt. It's a big problem for religious Jews now, like it is for the non-Jews. They have a recommendation that the internet should be not in anyone's private room. It should be in a public location, in the living room or in the dining room, where everybody will see. So whoever goes on the internet, everybody will see what they're looking at. And then the parents, it's not so stupid, not such a bad idea. The parents should have some kind of a recorder on the internet, so everything will be recorded. So the parents will be able to see who was listening to what, who was watching what on the internet. And the children should know that there's a recorder. And the parents should know. Parents should know also. We shouldn't sin. We shouldn't look at the wrong things. So the children will be able to check up on us, we'll be able to check up on the children. This is what the police department recommends. They feel that it's a magefa in America. The opening pasuk in Tehillim emphasizes that chaverim are so important. You have to be so careful who your children's chaverim are. Children have the wrong chaverim, so they'll be misled. This is very important. You can't just assume. They're all religious, they all go to this yeshiva, everybody's from. You have to check to make sure that they're from the way you want them to be. That's opening pasuk in Tehillim, many sources in Chazal about that. Chaverim have a very strong influence on the children. Where the parents decide to live, which community you decide to live in, which shul you're going to daven in is also a major decision. The pasuk tells us in Chumash that when Avram and Lot realized that they can't live together. So Avraham Avinu says, "Imasmo v'yamina v'mayamin v'asmiilo." So Lot sees Kol Kikar Hayarden Lefnei Shachis Hashem Zdeim Hamoira Kigar Hashem Kiretz Mitzrayim. That's the place to go if you want to get rich. I Anshistor Roiv Chatoim Hashem Yod. He wanted to become rich, so he moved to Sdom and then he fell in. The whole city was destroyed. You have to pick the right community. You have to pick the right neighborhood and pick the right shul and pick the right rabbi to latch onto. It's very important. The children are the most valuable asset that we have. And we have to, if we lose our own children, so life is not worth living. What do we accomplish already in this world? Everybody has a desire to continue living on. We don't live on so long. We have a short life. So if you want to live on, so you have to see to it that you have children. Because you don't live on. So you want to live on into the future. So you want to have children who will be Yirei Shemayim, who will follow in your footsteps. I don't think it's right to say that the only correct derech is my derech. The Haredim, all the derech that they have is not wrong. It's more difficult to be mechanech children if you say elu b'yed adiv l'kim chayim, but this is the derech that I have a masorah, so that's more difficult. But you can't say that the others don't have a masorah. You have to say the others have a masorah, but this is my masorah. You have to emphasize this is my masorah. I think that's not a smart idea to say that my derech is the only proper derech. All the other drachm are incorrect. I think that's an exaggeration. That's a chinuch shol sheker. We don't recommend a chinuch shol sheker. It's going to be more difficult to be mechanech children if you say elu v'yelu. So why can't the child choose the other one? You have to say no. But the Mishnah says Moshe kibul Torah misin masorah l'shul. You have to have a masorah. Then you have to say, and I have a masorah from Balei HaMasorah. I have a tradition from an Adam Gadol Meod who had a masorah from the earlier generations. I feel, in a certain sense, lucky that my children are all married already. I don't know how I would succeed to raise children in this generation. In America, I don't know how we're going to be able to stay in America too much longer. If the Supreme Court could paskin that if you're opposed to homosexuality, then you're a bigot. We're bigots already, because we follow the Torah. The Barsham gave us the Torah. It's much more difficult to be a machan of children in this generation than it was when I was growing up and when I was raising my children. It's a much bigger challenge. I don't know. These are just some of the recommendations that I have. More than that, I don't know what to say. Maybe we'll open the floor for discussion. I don't know.
How do we approach the shmua that children bring home about people who are machashne cakes, and they're saying that this year and this lunar cycle and this gadol and everything are telling us that the Mashiach is imminent, and I think in certain cases it scares the children. And certainly, if it doesn't come about, it's going to crush them.
Sure.
But this is something that they hear all the time. Is there an Indian of Isser of doing this?
Sure, there's an Isser. The Gemara highly recommends against it. The Gemara says, Tipach Rucham, Shabbat Shvikitz, we're not allowed to. But they say the name of an Adam Gol. He said, Mashiach is here. What's going on? What are they talking about? I don't know. It's certainly not our Masur. Our Masur is we don't try to figure out what the Ketzer Yomen is. You have to be a bit Talmud Chacham to know what's a chiddush. No, you have to judge on each and every individual thing. Is this a chiddush or is this a shinur? Rav Soloveitchik said that in Europe the practice used to be that when a new rav was appointed in town, he would always introduce some new chiddush in the Shtar Mechiras Chavos. Or he would introduce some new... They didn't always follow the psalm of the previous rabbi. Every rav had his own opinion. But shinuyim not. Chiddushim, look, in halacha there are different opinions. You have to know. It's hard to define. It's a fine line. I don't think so. I was just discussing before, there's an organization in America that's called JOFA. Rosh Yateva is, I think, Jewish Orthodox Feminist Association. So this JOFA advertised in the newspaper for almost a year that they're going to put up a bezdin, an international bezdin to work on issues of agunas. So they got three rabbis. So then we saw some of the psukim that the rabbis issued. This is not our religion. They're in violation of lesinah. What are you talking about? They allow a woman to remarry without a get based on flimsy, ridiculous reasons. That's mamash shinui. That's not a chiddush. Against halacha. Against halacha. It's the latest scandal in America. You hang up a shingle that I'm the international bezna for agunas, and then you have a right to paskin. People never, I wouldn't rely on a psak that you give on Yalav Yom, on Talamot. They're going to paskin on Ebenezer, that a woman doesn't need a get. That's all shinur. That's not chiddush. Chiddush is within the style that we know, so you have a chiddush over here, a chiddush over there, but you're changing the whole style. That's legamri shinur. We have a tradition of the Torah, we have a masara of the Torah.
The approach when
building
who attack each other. How do you explain
it
to the
younger
generation?
Terrible. I don't know how you explain it. I was just reading recently a sefer that was put together by Talmidim of Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman. I hardly ever met him. Bimikre, I happened to be, a few years ago, I happened to be invited to go to the yeshiva in Berlin, and East Berlin there's a yeshiva. They call it Hildesheim Yeshiva. So they have yeshiva there. So they invited me to come for a week to give shiur there. So that was a couple of years ago. So Bimikre, the week that I was there, Rabbi Leib Steinman came and he spoke there for 10 minutes and he left. So that was the only time I ever met him. So I have no shaykhis with him. When I'm reading the sefer that's put together by his Talmidim, you can see the way he's so careful, the way he speaks and the way he presents things in the shiur. When he has a taina against a certain practice or a taina against a certain shita, a certain halacha, Hanhoget, so he writes, it's problematic. And this, instead of dropping it on and bam, he's saying it's against the pasuk in Chumash, he says it's a tzarachim. Very, very respectful. You have to be respectful. How can they attack each other? How can they dehumanize each other? It means that they're not gedolim. He said, apparently they're not gedolim. Noshim gedolim. Don't talk like that. This Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, I have no shaykh. I don't know who he is. I know very little about him. He has a very mild manner, apparently. They quoted everything from the Sron. Extremely mild-mannered, the way he presents everything, the way he gives his sheet and he disagrees with others. Very respectful of everybody. That's a real anoshim gedolim. Speak with respect to each other. How can you dehumanize the other person? That's the other person is mamish am haaretz. It doesn't know what he's talking about. That's a different story. It is difficult. How can you raise children? My wife always says when she reads some of these crazy things in the newspaper, she's going to go to the galach to convert. I think they have bigger problems than we have. But that's the expression that he's going to the galach to convert. It's a big problem.
Right,
the Chazon Ish writes about that. He writes in Kuntres and Munna B'Tochen, a beautiful essay in a beautiful, his style Hebrew. He made up his own style of Hebrew. So he writes that years ago, one person would make the whole soup. One person would make the whole machine, whatever. And now, yeah, one person makes the buttonholes, one person makes the button, one person makes the right pocket, one person makes the left pocket. You have a doctor for the right hand, doctor for the left hand, doctor for the right foot, doctor for the left foot. You have expertise. So he says, in learning wealth, years ago, he used to be the same person, the Nadi Behuda. Gave Piske Halacha, and he gave a Shir and Kochim, he gave a Shir and Baba Kama, and Doshim Ezekiel, and he gave Hashkofet, Droshes, everything. One person did everything. Now we have a division of labor. So in the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva gives the Shurim, and then the Mashgiach gives Shmosin and Hashkofet, and then every yeshiva has a Poisik with Paskin Shilas, and everything is divided, and even in Halacha, when Rabbi Chaim Moshe had a difficult shaila in Hilchus Mikvos, he sent it to the Chazon Ish's brother, who happened to be at the Broadway Central in Manhattan. Olam HaShem doesn't exist anymore. That's where I got married, at the Broadway Central. It used to be a Jewish hotel. And then when he had a shaila in Hilchus Erevin, he sent it to the Chazon Ish, who already lived in Eretz at that time. Because he was a bigger expert in Mikvos, and he was a bigger expert in Hilchus Erevin. Yeah, we live in a generation where there is expertise in a field. Person, there's so much to know now, so you can't be an expert in everything. Yeah, but still, in life, most of the time, all the rabbonim will agree to each other, so it's not really an issue. But sometimes you have to be careful not to be inconsistent. If I follow many things, I follow this rov, and many things I follow this rov. So you have to make up your mind not to be inconsistent. Some people are only looking for chumras, so they're just going to follow everybody's chumras. Some people are just looking for kulas. They're shopping around for kulas, so they're just going to follow everybody's kulas. So the person is being inconsistent. The Gemara says in the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Misil, you have to make up your mind. If you want to join the Beis Shammai, so join. So follow everything that the Beis Shammai said. If you follow kula Beis Shammai with kula Misil, he's a Russia. He's a faker. He's not following anybody. Just following his own dictates of his heart. He doesn't want to be machman anything. That's inconsistent. He follows the chumras of both. So the Gemara says that he's stupid. He's exiled if he follows the chumras of both. So you have to. A lot of times we follow a little bit this rabbi, a little bit that rabbi, because he's a bigger expert in this area, he's a bigger expert in that area. That is true, but generally speaking, they would probably all agree with each other. You have to be careful not to be inconsistent when it comes to a different area to make sure that the klal still applies. Aseh l'haram still applies. And a gift, as the Chanan Bach used to say. He went to high school in the yeshiva, and then his uncle was Dean Zohar. Those who remember Dean Zohar. So his uncle learned in Tel, so he convinced him he should go learn in Europe. So he went to Europe, he still corresponded with Rabbi Palev. That was his Rebbe. For years he could correspond. Now they printed the collection of letters. I don't know how it happened. He has a letter that Rabbi Gifter sent from Poland on Monday. Rabbi Palev responds on Thursday of the same week. How they deliver the letter so fast? What special delivery? Airmail. I don't know how it happened. Maybe someone went from Europe to America. He delivered it by air. They went by boat then. They didn't go by plane. I don't know how that. So they have correspondence for years and years and years. So one of the instructions that Rabbi Palev told them is, you shouldn't get involved in any, you shouldn't join any political organization, good political organization. You shouldn't go to the Aguda. So for years he didn't go. All the boys and tells went to the Aguda to get together. He never went. And then once the Mashgiach and the Yeshiva noticed that he never gifted, never goes to the Aguda and get together. So he asked the Bochum, how come gifted doesn't go? So they told the Mashgiach, his Rebbe in America told him he shouldn't get involved in Aguda. So he called in Rabbi Gifter, and he asked him, how come you don't go? So he says, his Rebbe in America told him, so he says, I have a suggestion for you, switch your Rebbe. So he says, I switched my Rebbe, from that day on I go to Aguda. It sounds humorous, but it's not a joke. A boy learns in high school by Rebbe 1 year. So he gains a lot from the Rebbe. So that's Taka Selach HaRav. He follows everything the Rebbe says. But then a year or two later, he graduates. He moves on in life. He's prepared to pick a different Rebbe. So true, he was corresponding with his Rebbe in New York all the 5 years, whatever, that he was there. But then you reach a point that the Rebbe in front of you and tells has more influence on you than the Rebbe in America is just corresponding by mail. So that's what he said, switch your Rebbe. So he says, switch my Rebbe from that time on. He goes to the Aguda. There is such a thing, like you said, person moves on, he graduates, he gets married, he moves to a different city. So it's too difficult to keep on calling up the other Rebbe. So he picks a different Rebbe. I say, look, Harav picks. It's not unreasonable to switch Rebbe's. At a certain stage, you have to switch Rebbe's. I don't think that's an inconsistency. You outgrew the first Rebbe, so you pick a different Rebbe. But we all have to... We have to try to follow to the best of our abilities the klal haselach harav. Otherwise, we're just living without any masor at all. You have to have a masor from some other gadol, not from a certain rabbi. The person whom you're following has to himself have a masor from some other gadol. Otherwise, we're just not following any masor.
Another situation which is very common here in Israel, about the shemesh also, it's very common that a lot of teenagers they're drifting and they latch onto an ideology, whether it's Rezlev or Chabad or Kalbach. Certainly, Rezlev, there's no one to ask, they follow the book. So is that better than, it certainly is better than doing other things which are not religious, but.
We should try
not
to make. We should try to make our Masorah as exciting as the other Masorah. Why are they attracted to the other? Why aren't they attracted? So maybe they see that we do mitzvahs like by rote, mitzvahs al nashim al umada. Maybe they see that we make a joke out of everything. Maybe the chisaron is in us. They see there's something wrong with the way we're keeping the religion. So they want to join that religion. You have to show them how cheerful our religion is. It's not a boring religion. It's a cheerful observance of mitzvahs. It's not that. It's not. Shouldn't be over serious. It shouldn't be too much kibbutzing. But it should be. We should present it as a rich tradition that we have from Dore Doris all the way going back many, many generations. They won't be attracted. I can understand a Baal Tshuva. He doesn't know where to go. So he goes to Chabad, he goes to Breslau. But we're talking people not Baal Tshuva. We're talking people who learned in yeshivas, and their parents learned in yeshivas, their grandparents learned in yeshivas. So we have traditions. So what do they have to run to other traditions? We have wonderful, healthy, beautiful, cheerful traditions. That's a big problem. Not all the children belong in the same school, but all the schools should present more or less the same hashkofa, the same masar. The school's going to be different. It's going to rip the family apart. It's not a smart idea.
It's more important to follow your masar than necessarily to
develop it. Each child may need a different school, even from the same family, even twins, not necessarily belong in the same school. A lot of times better not to be in the same place, not to be in the same school. But all the schools that you send your children should have more or less approximately the same hashkafa, the same masorah that we have. You send a child to a school that has a different tradition, a different masorah, it's going to rip apart the whole family. I don't think it's a smart idea.
The challenge is, I think, in this generation are different than they were in the past. And there are various, I'm sure in the States too, but especially also in Israel, organizations of rabbis who feel that maybe the Masorah was to a certain extent maybe it was important or is appropriate for previous generations. But if we look at the Kaddish, we have to see the non-religious population, and there are changes that they go only according to the halakha. They find the sources in the halakha, but to a certain extent, maybe they're lacking the Nesorah aspect.
That's a big problem. You see, the Reform movement began with Talmid Chachamim, who followed what it said in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch that if you're davening b'tzibur, there's nothing wrong with davening ba'aramis. The Gemara said if you daven in Aramaic, that was the vernacular, that was the spoken language in the street. So the Malachim don't care to pay. When a person davens b'yichidus, it needs the angels to present the tefillos to the Baruch Shalom. If it davens b'tzibur, the tefillos go directly. It doesn't need the assistance of the angels. The Gemara says, if you're going to daven b'yichidus, shaloi b'tzibur, you're going to daven in the vernacular, so the malachim will not present. But if you daven b'tzibur, the tefillos go directly. There's nothing wrong with davening in the vernacular. So they said, when we daven in shul, we can daven in German, we can daven in the vernacular. There's nothing wrong. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The only mistake, the little mistake that they made was, if you want to make a major change, to change the davening, to daven in German, to daven in the vernacular, they should have consulted some of the Gedolim. They didn't think that they were the Gedolim. They knew they were bigger. They knew they were Rebbe Kibeger and Achsam Sefer and others were greater Gedolim than they were. The Malbim was one of the great Gedolim. They didn't consult any of the Gedolim. That's where they fell in. Or, originally, there's a Mogen Avram, there's a Mechaber, and Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a Shabbat Brachas on Shabbos, so it's a mitzvah, a makom mitzvah, you should have music and a Shabbat Brachas on Shabbos. What do you do? You can't play music, so it's permissible to ask a non-Jew to play music, if he knows Jewish music, on a Shabbat Brachas on Shabbos, because it's a shvuz du shvuz b'makom mitzvah. Amir v'lanachri, and to play a piano, to play a musical instrument, is only the Rabbanon many times. So to do amir v'lanachri and a Rabbanon is mutar b'makom mitzvah. So they said to enhance the prayer services in the shul, you can have a non-Jew play the organ. They didn't consult any of the Gedolim on that. That's Befeirish and the Shulchan Aruch. But that constituted a major change in the prayer service in the shul. So from that, they fell in. Everything else went downhill after that. The only mistake that they made was they followed everything that it says in Shulchan Aruch. You don't always follow everything in the Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes you have to ask the Gedolim, what is the Masorah over here? We don't always follow everything. In our generation also, you have people, Talmidei Chachamim, but they don't have a Masorah. So they make chumris, improper chumras that were never observed for generations before. They come up with outstanding chumras that are unreasonable, then they come up with kulas that no one would ever have dreamt of in the earlier generations. So Leitchik complains about this in one of his published essays, that you have in America, you have young Talmidei Chachamim, they're learning very nicely, but they have no masorah, so they come up with wild chumras that our grandparents never observed, never heard of these crazy chumras. Come up with the crazy coolers. They're prepared to sell away the whole religion on a slight shas hadchak. There are rules and regulations when you make a shas hadchak. You still need a masorah on that. Yeah, even things that are befeirish on Shulchan Aruch. To explain what tznius means. Tznius doesn't just mean to wear a dress down to here and up to here. Tznius means to lead a private life. I'm a rabbi, so I'm always in the public, so I'm always compromising on my tznius. Tznius means, but yeah, someone has to come. Someone has to be the rabbi, someone has to be the mayor in town, someone has to be the policeman, someone has to be the president of the community. So we say it's bad enough that the men have to compromise on their tznius. The women, we say, that we don't want the women to be compromising on that tznius. Tznius means to lead a private life, not to be in the public eye. This is, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, this is in total contradiction to what American culture stands for. If the lotion that he used was that I would, the individual would tell the newspaper correspondent, write about me whatever you want, but make sure you print my picture in the newspaper and spell my name right. Everybody's looking for publicity. So that's the punkt, the heper from what Yiddishkeit is all about. We want snias. Snias means to lead a private life. So Rav Soloveitchik was a very public figure, so he was compromising on his things. But it's bad enough that the men have to compromise. We encourage the women not to compromise on their things. One of the in the collection of letters, the Igros Ariyah by Rav Kook, so he has one letter where he writes that he died before HaKamas HaMedina. So he writes that we'll only have a schus to control Eretz Yisrael if we'll go in the footsteps, the schus is in the schus of Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, if we go in the footsteps of the others that the Malachim asked Avraham Avinu, Ayesar Ishtach, he says, Hinei Ba'ol. He wasn't prancing around in public. Hinei Ba'ol. He was very, Rav Kook was very opposed to the fact that women function as secretaries in offices. He thought that that was also a violation of tznius. In each community, you have to figure out what's the definition of tznius, and to what extent, what's the shear of tznius. It is societal. It depends on the society.
We're not about to turn back the clock and have women not work and not go to work and not become doctors and lawyers and temples.
Correct. It's societal, right? So certain things we have already learned to live with. But better would be that we don't push it further. All of us are in violation of tznius. The whole lives are in violation. So we should try to tone everything down. Try back to go back to the old system. There's nothing wrong with the old system. Yes?
How should we explain to our children when we have, every once in a while, once a year, maybe even more, a scandal that happens with a rav? Something. So how do we explain that to our children and yet have them be ma'amim in our rabbeim, asel chadav? And just to say that that one's not adam gadol doesn't really help, because it doesn't differentiate for the child.
I'm embarrassed to go with the name rabbi. There's so many scandals lately. I'm embarrassed to go around with the title of a rabbi. My wife, every time she hears another scandal, she's going down the block to the galach to shma. How can you explain it? What are you going to say? That the guy never learned in the yeshiva. It's true. These people have this scandal. Most of them were rotten from the very beginning. Most of them were no good to begin with. But that doesn't answer it. For the children, they don't know the difference between one rabbi and the other. I don't know. It's a big problem. You have to explain to the children that human beings are human beings and they sin. And if they sin, we no longer follow what they say. The Rebbe has to be angelic. If the Rebbe wrote a Sefer, and it's a wonderful Sefer, but then you discover that something wrong with the Sefer, something wrong with the Rebbe, so he's not doing Malachal Hashem Tzvokas. You're not allowed to use his Sefer. That's what the Gemara says. You're not allowed to read from that Sefer, even though it's marvelous. The Rebbe says that the Rebbe is just translating words, so that's like a Jastrow. Jastrow, I think, was a conservative rabbi in America. And that's not the Raksha Torah Mepil. He's not saying Torah from his mouth. He's just translating what the words are. Every so often there's a mistake in Jastrow also. But, leaving out the mistakes. But if the person is giving original thoughts, that's exactly what you're not allowed to do. You Raksha Torah Mepil, to listen to his original ideas. There's something wrong with his personality. If he sins, it's not... We have to emphasize that. But it is a problem. How do you explain to your children? How can this happen? I don't know. It's a big problem. The Baruch Hashem should bless us all. We should all have nachas from all of our children and our grandchildren. We should try to be machat to the best of our abilities.
Amen.
Should be a non-cognitive.